P-O-D-O-F-T-H-U-D-E-R, Pod of Thunder.
Welcome to Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting.
You know, in this weather, you need your engine to sound like that for about 20 minutes before you go outside.
Yeah, you got to let it heat up, huh?
Yeah.
Let it warm up in the...
You got auto start in your vehicles, Nick?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Andy and I were talking about that not that long ago.
Yeah, it was last week.
It was one vehicle years ago had it, wasn't thrilled about it, didn't work very long. Never got it.
Yeah, I remember that was a hot thing about 20 years ago. Everybody was getting it installed, aftermarket remote start on their keychains, and then some vehicles still have it, some new vehicles, but it's kind of died down.
I think for the most part, people just go outside and start their vehicle.
Get some balls. You can walk outside. How bad is the weather? You can walk outside.
Well, or garage your vehicle so you don't have to go outside.
Yeah, people just don't want to be cold.
Well...
Just be cold.
Just be cold. It'll it's fine.
Plus, it doesn't take modern cars that long to heat up.
It'll be fine.
20 minutes out of here.
You'll be okay. What
kind of jalopy are you riding around in?
Anyway, welcome to the show. It's Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. Brought to you by Curiosity. Smells good in here. What's going on? What is that?
This week's... scent is from the music collection She's So High, inspired by the song by Tal Bachman, son of Randy Bachman.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
That's She's So High song?
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I had
news
to look
to
it up.
Wow.
But yeah, it's a mix of amber, lavender, and olive wood.
Delightful.
Yeah.
That's good.
Quality stuff, and if you go... purchase some for yourself, you get 20% off with the code POTHEAD at checkout.
That's good. Get yourself 20%. That's a good percent back.
It is a good
money in your pocket.
Back.
Imagine the Black Friday deals later this year.
Later this year. It's fucking 11 months away already. You're already thinking that.
Nick's a deals guy. He's ready.
I'm thinking, man, imagine those deals.
Yeah. He's got gifts planned for people.
Doing some mental extreme couponing.
That's good.
Valentine's Day is not on your radar at all.
That's true. That's true.
The deals aren't good enough for
Valentine's Day. Well, 20% now.
The deals aren't good enough on Black Friday either.
That's true.
The deals are bullshit.
That's true. Go with the 20% now.
Take the 20% now, pothead. You'll be good to go. It's as good as it's going to get.
You really want 90% off a Westinghouse TV? Get out of here. Just
the ones that
deals
the ones that they the store doesn't even carry the rest of the year. They just bring in a pallet and cut the plastic and there you go.
Cheap motherfuckers. Just there are no deals.
Andy and I worked a Black Friday one time together.
Yeah, once.
Where?
Menards.
And that's what happened. You walk in and they say, "All right, this is where all this is. It's like they don't carry this
yeah,
ever.
It was stuff they had in the ad.
And people come rushing in and they're like, "Where is this?" I'm like, "Dude, I don't know."
You got to find
it. They just dropped random pallets around the perimeter of the store. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, these are not items that are sold year-round.
No, they're not. And so enough of the waiting for Black Friday deals. You've got a deal right now.
That's
get
true.
It. 20% off. Valentine's Day, you know. Tap into the sensuality of Curiosity's candles.
Get on board with us in 2026, the year we've decided to smell better.
We have.
It doesn't only apply to your body, it applies to your home.
And without going into any specifics, I'm told customer service is fantastic.
I like it.
True story. I was informed the customer service over there at Curiosity's is top of the line.
Well, top shelf.
Top shelf.
The packaging, it's all top shelf, so treat yourself.
There you go. And you know what? With that extra money you save, when you buy your candles. Go to Patreon.
There, now you're talking.
Yes, patreon.com/potofthunder. A variety of tiers to meet every budget helps us out greatly. If you're a patron already, thank you very much. Sincerely, helps us out a lot.
We've got an 80% off sale, right?
No.
Oh.
No.
We have no sales.
And they're 20 and our 80?
What you can do is opt for a lower tier if you choose to. That'll still help us out incredibly. So please do that. Check it out. You're going to love it. All the music we've recorded on this show, original stuff we've had from our bands in the past before we even had this show, access to the listener submission list, which will probably be utilized today, I'm guessing. I'm not sure. But yeah, you're going to love it. You could be on live with us here on Thursdays, usually, when we record the show. Look at video of us horsing around. You're going to love it.
Well,
access to the chat.
Don't talk the people out of it now.
Yeah, you're right. You don't want to look
at us. Yeah, you're talking your way out of the sale.
Yep, shut up, Andy.
We're three guys on a rock podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
Ask for the sale and shut your mouth. All That's right. The lesson number one of sales.
I've gone too far.
You
okay.
have.
All right,
Patreon. Video of us horsing around is not a selling point, believe me.
Patreon.com/potofthunder. And you know me. What does it mean?
Could he be the most nakedest man in the world?
Yes. Yes, he is.
He is. It's your buddy, Andy, America's little brother, the nakedest man
so
in the
naked.
World. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this new noise is, but I tap the recorder and it stops. That's fun. I love that.
Don't you love that shit?
For no reason. No moving parts, as we always say, but there's trouble. Anyway, check this out. This is what everybody's paying money for. Get to see what Nick's going to do each and every week. Let's figure it out. Here we go. Nick Pollock has entered the program.
Oh.
He danced just for you. I know you dancing just for me, Nick. That's what everybody's saying.
Just for me.
Yes. That's what they're saying at home.
You're teasing me. Yeah, you're pleasing me.
What a completely unhinged portion of a song.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing over there? I didn't see it.
You know, I do... I had no idea what I was going to do, but I kind of went into a thing I do regularly when people are talking. Mm-hmm. I'll go behind one of them and I do kind of like a curly thing.
Okay.
Well, you do this in public, strangers, or
no?
You're gonna get attacked doing
no,
that.
No, usually if it's
sounds like a flying air and stunt back in the day.
No, it's River usually Oaks at Mall. At a family
black
gathering.
Black barber shop. You know, just name the location.
It's usually a family gathering thing.
Hey, well, that was gonna be my next question.
Yeah,
it's like now that you've exhausted your terrible jokes and comments that just cast a pall over it. Now you're just physically getting up on people.
Just behind, I'll get behind one of them and do like a curly kind of a thing. That's what I do.
Works for you. I'm glad you're doing it.
A curly type of thing. Great.
Does this surprise anyone? No.
No.
That's what Nick does.
Shouldn't. It's, you know what, I can't be part of this conversation because I'm late to it.
Oh?
So I'm going to act out.
Yeah, okay. You have to take the attention away.
I'm
going to
act out somehow. Yeah.
You have to ruin their moment.
Yeah.
Make it about you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is all.
It's the sign of a quality person right there.
Well, speaking of a quality person.
I would do that
person,
when I can't find the calculator.
Perfect segue.
The Black Friday calculator palette. I would start dancing.
Speaking of a quality person who can have it, to Nick's immediate left, you want him, we got him.
I can have it every day, yeah. I can have it, get out of my way, yeah, fuck you.
Put your hands together, the breakout star of the podcast medium.
How hard would it be to do a 3D effect and sell glasses to listeners for when Chris does that?
He can shake his maracas at you, give you the finger, throw popcorn at you.
I mean, I remember years ago they played
egg yolk flavored popcorn. From Lee.
You guys remember like early 90s, they played Hondo on TV and it was in 3D.
What?
And the John Wayne film. And no, leading up to it, you could acquire 3D glasses for it, and they played it a certain night at a certain time.
That was a real thing? Are you sure that wasn't an episode of Married with Children?
There was an episode where he was desperately trying to watch Hondo.
Okay.
But I remember this happening. And then there was an episode of a sitcom where they did this too.
Yeah, why would they be like, we got an idea. Yeah. It's going to get viewers.
Hondo in 3D. How do you land on Hondo for the 3D? Is there like John Wayne directing things at the camera? I mean, how does this work?
You couldn't get Back to the Future. Or,
it was Hondo.
You know, anything.
Bill and Hondo. Ted. I don't know. Something that's got some kind of... E.T., whatever.
I'm pretty
Star
sure
Wars.
Anything.
I'm pretty sure this happened well over 30 years ago.
Wow.
And we watched it.
And we literally watched it. At the end of the list of movies you would pick, Hondo.
Well, The Conqueror would be...
It might be better in 3D, though. That might be improved. You gotta dodge the mustache. You'd be ducking on the couch when he turns. I don't know what would happen in Hondo.
Yeah, who knows what?
I don't know. We're working on it, though. We'll work on this 3D idea.
Yeah. I'll see what we can do. We've got big ideas. Yeah. I don't know if we can actually execute any of them, but we'll see.
Short answer is no, but we'll just keep throwing them out.
Maybe we'll put on our own production of Hondo.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that'll be our sequel to No Stranger to Love. Yeah, shot for shot reenactment of Hondo.
Why not? All right, so here we are. Is this the last? No, there's one more. I was going to say, is this the last January episode?
No, there's one more.
Okay, one more for this.
Yeah.
Okay, because February's coming up soon.
It is.
Those of you who've been excited all year.
Love it.
Something else, you don't need to wait for Black Friday. It's 11 months away at this point.
How hard are we going to be going at these candles during February? It's just the perfect tie-in.
It is.
Yeah. I have a candle thing that just popped back into my head. So yesterday I was at work. This is why I should not be allowed to do things. I was at work unsupervised.
And burned the building down.
There's a candle that's been on my desk for about 2 years that someone gave me, a coworker gave everyone candles 1 year for Christmas, I think it was. But it was like one of these little terracotta clay pots that had a green candle in it, right? So it looked like it was a flower or something, but it was a candle. And I lit it probably once in the 2 years, and it's just been sitting on my desk. And yesterday I was looking at it, and I said, you know what? I'm going to light this again. But the wick was very small, like, and I was trying to light it. It wouldn't catch. It was so small. So I saw this knife we had to open boxes at the front. Took the knife, and I'm trying to, like, shave this wax down.
Uh-huh.
I put the knife right through the wax, through the side of the pot, and it went right between two of my fingers.
Ooh, baby.
Jesus, like, dude.
Okay. This is why I should not be allowed to do anything.
No, what kind of pot is this?
Yeah, I don't know. Some Black Friday terracotta pot sale. They don't sell the rest of the year.
Westinghouse terracotta pot.
Yeah, so... There you go. Got to be careful. And I was even thinking, I should be careful when I do this. I didn't expect me to push it all the way through the entire candle and through the pot. So luckily, right between my first two fingers, didn't cut myself.
Jesus.
Andy, everybody gangster until Andy needs to cut a wick down.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm glad to be here, healthy as I can be.
Hands intact for now.
Yep.
Fingers aren't longer than they should be.
Ugh. So, what do we got? Nick's up tonight?
Is that right?
I think.
It's got to be, right?
I think it goes Andy, Chris, Nick, alphabetical order of the first
names. There you
names,
go.
Right. Yeah. I think.
So it's Nick's turn.
Right, I'll get up again.
Did you bring anything to eat?
I did.
Yes!
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
This red scarf makes me sweat every time I put it on.
Oh,
that's counterproductive to your quest to smell better.
Yeah, I know. Well,
take it back to Joann Fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops.
Yeah, find an open location of Joann Fabric. Yeah.
The private equity firms have shut it down, right? Isn't that what
it's
happened?
It's gone.
Yeah, it's done.
It is
eat,
not.
Check, move my bowels, we'll see, and sweat, yeah. Check. So two out of three so far.
Fat monster pig you are.
Yes. So what do we got here, Nick?
I think I mentioned these before. There, it's a variation of something I brought several weeks ago. It's that cracker toffee, you know?
Yes.
But I experimented with it the first time I made it when I did the pretzel one. I did a little bit. They have those Cheez-It. They're not the regular little square crackers. They're like the chips. They're like thinner. Basically, it's like if you were able to take a Cheez-It cracker and roll it with a rolling pin and flatten it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little curved and stuff like that. So that's what's in there. And I threw a little peanut butter on it too. So you've got Cheez-It chip, peanut butter, toffee, and chocolate. And I was very happy with the results.
This is your own recipe?
Yeah, this is just a variation using that and adding the peanut butter. So
yeah, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, it's pretty. I thought, it might not work with the cheddar peanut butter combo, but
no, that's a good.
It's not a terribly strong cheddar flavor.
Not bad, Nick. Not bad, Nick.
Yeah,
good work over there, Nick.
That turned out all right.
Excellent work.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good one. One of your better ones lately.
Chris is pleased. This is a good sign.
Keep it rolling.
Yeah, firing on all cylinders here. This is good. Let's see, what do we got over
here? Just when we're in a groove, Nick will knock the cameras over or something.
I hope so.
Onto the candle.
Yeah, right. Whole
fire.
Place will burn down.
Andy's going to play Arthur Brown.
Nick will be running Chris's dogs outside like Pee Wee Herman. All right, so it's going to be Nick's turn to pick from the listener submission list, which you get access to at any tier on Patreon.
Have to come running back in for the bushwhacker figures. Those will be like the snakes at the end when he passes out. The bushwhacker figure in each hand. I'm coming over.
Okay, head over this way. Let's see how many we have on the list at this point. We are here. Give me one moment here. I've got so many things to complain about. I'm almost not ready to get into it, but we should get into it.
I need my walking stick.
Yeah. While you're on your way over, I was just thinking about something you said about customer service, and then I got upset about something from today, but...
That's not good.
Yeah. I called a local tire store to set up an appointment. I'm not going to guess the country, but a tire store 1.3 miles from my house... Got to call overseas to schedule an appointment and ask questions to the guy.
Really?
What's happening?
I had a guy just straight up hang up on me while I was talking to him at a tire store.
What did you say to him?
I was just explaining. He was like, "What size do you have?" And I was like, "Well, let me check." He just hung up on me.
He didn't mind. If you don't know your tire size when you call, this guy's got no patience for you.
Just straight up hung up.
Yeah, call me back when you figure it out. All right. Well. Nick's got the lever. He's going to pull it. Do it. At this moment, we have 1,843 songs to choose from here. And we've pulled number 1,524.
Mm.
Nick's going to take a look here. Highlighted. Mm-hmm. He's thinking.
You know, I'm not going to say absolutely not, so I'll maybe just kind of bookmark that one.
Okay. Keep it in the hopper, as we say. Give it another pull, Nick. Very good.
I didn't do anything.
You did it. We jumped forward 50 steps here to 1,000. 584. I don't have my glasses on. I'm squinting. So there you go. No,
this isn't
the month for that. This is not the month for that, he says. No. Move along to the next trick. Bushwhacked.
Yeah.
Number two here.
Yeah.
Wrong month.
I can't.
You don't like it. You hate it. You're mad that it's on the list.
I don't hate it, but it's not what I'm looking for.
Okay. Not what you're after.
No.
Not what you're, what was the thing that you sent the other day, Chris? Not what I'm focused on right now.
Yeah, right. Right. It's not my focus right now. There it is.
All right. One more. Ding. Oh, way back. Oh, 276. 276. Jeez. Way at the top.
276.
Mm-hmm.
Be good.
I can't see anything. It's just too small. Who made this so small? There you go.
Nick. Can I see the comment?
Yeah, you can see the comment. Nick sighed at this.
Use it
one.
In a sentence.
Yes.
Just a stall tactic.
All right. So it's on here twice in a row.
Oh, boy.
But you see. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Mm,
that could be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what?
Do it?
Yeah, why not?
All right, we're going to do it.
It'll take us into familiar territory somewhat.
Familiar territory.
Somewhat.
That's good. That's where we want to be. All right. So you don't know it, though, do you?
I'm assuming.
Watch it.
Look out.
Knock shit over.
Pretty sure I've heard it.
No, you have.
I think. But I don't... this artist, this group, I will reveal that much. Familiar with them, but I will admit I don't know a whole lot, and I can't recall. If you asked me to sing anything by this group, I couldn't do it.
You can't hum it for us.
Huh? No, they're, but maybe this one.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Yeah. I'm gonna take a guess that Chris hasn't heard it, but I could be wrong. I know I have not heard it, but I think we are all familiar with somebody involved here. Nick, do you remember the information before we reveal what it is?
Is it the
title track?
The titular track?
It sure is.
Sure, why not?
All right, well, let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho!
All right, Harold! This one's called...
Nasty Nasty.
Off of...
Nasty Nasty.
By the band...
Black and Blue.
Ow! Oh!
1986.
Okay.
Black.
Produced by... Blue. Producer extraordinaire. Producer of Van Halen Zero. And Wendy O. Williams. What else did he produce? Gene Simmons, anyway.
Yes.
Let's see here.
Wait, produced by Gene Simmons?
Yeah.
Okay.
And featuring none other than...
It's Tommy Thayer,
Tommy
right?
Thayer. For those who don't know, went on to become Kiss's lead guitar player.
Imagine that.
It happened. So, this song is the title track, the opening track of Nasty Nasty, co-written by Gene Simmons, Tommy Thayer, and Jamie St. James, he was the primary, or is, it's still around, but primary songwriter and lead vocalist. So, those are the three individuals we have here. I don't know that this album or anything, let's see, it peaked at 110 actually on the Billboard 200. Would not have guessed that.
I had no idea.
I would have thought it didn't even crack the 200, but that's just complete wild guess.
What's the record company?
The record company? Let's see. Where are we at here? Geffen.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, well, there you go.
It is Geffen.
Wow. I didn't even... They were on Geffen?
Apparently. Jeez.
And I don't know. I can't name a time when I heard a note from this band.
I'm with you.
I don't remember seeing them on MTV ever. So, yeah, that surprises me that they were on that giant of a label at the time.
Now, not on this song, but apparently there's a song on this album called Best in the West.
Okay.
Features Peter Criss and Ron Keel on vocals.
Wow.
Okay. It's funny how that happens. And it's okay, so this is a timely thing. So if you're listening to this episode not around the time when it's being released or recorded,
yeah,
it's going to be like, what? But there's a current thing going back and forth with Peter Criss and Gene Simmons right now about the composition of Beth.
Right.
And it's funny how that is, because this is 86. Peter's long gone at that point.
Yeah.
And there's still this sort of this thing where the Kiss members, who they're not really associated with each other anymore, and they end up crossing paths. Yeah. Like, it just keeps happening. People keep getting them together in some way, in some shape or form.
Yeah, you think there'd be absolutely no interaction, but they cross paths here.
Yeah, but Gene Simmons is the producer. How do you allow Peter Criss to be involved if you're, you know, having had that falling out just a few years prior?
Yeah,
it's very strange.
That's, you know, that's the stuff that drives the Kiss fans wild.
Yeah.
All the ups and downs, constant ups and downs, even when there really is no need for it, as recent headlines will.
It's so unnecessary, except for the reasons to keep them in the headlines. And it's like, why even talk about that at this juncture? It makes no sense. But it makes perfect sense when you consider who's doing it. He just can't help himself.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm just going to take a speculative guess here and wonder if this is probably the first time that Peter was associated with anything Kiss was doing again, even though this isn't Kiss, but you know what I mean? I wonder if that was the first time where, you know, it could have made some headlines in some rock magazines, and maybe Gene thought, hey, you know, this is going to make me look good if we've got a little publicity behind what we're doing. I'll sacrifice my personal feelings for some headlines in some magazines or whatever, just to, Kiss guys are back.
That could happen.
You know, I don't know.
Is Peter the only member of Kiss that wasn't on that Wendy O. Williams album?
Oh, I don't know.
That Wow album in 84.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I think everybody who had been in Kiss to that point was on that album.
Wow.
Except for him.
Mm. Okay.
So, yeah, this might, as far as I know, this is the first time there was any sort of relationship creatively there since Peter was ousted. Mm.
So who submitted this one?
A wonderful question. Let me open my eyes. This was submitted by our dear friend Chris Camerato. Okay. Not once, but twice. a few months apart. I forgive you. You can do that as much as you want, by the way. That's not a problem. But he's got two different comments here, so maybe there's going to be some interesting insight in both of these. I'm going to read both. The title track of Tommy Thayer and Company's 1986 album, produced by Gene Simmons. It was Domino before there was a Domino.
Oh, that's intriguing.
The bridge riff is literally lifted right from Only You.
Oh, no.
Is that from The Elder? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
A lot of stuff here that I think you guys could have fun analyzing, which should be interesting to Pot Nation as well. Very good. And the other comment Chris left for us is the title track from Gene's... it's kind of the same thing. Okay. Potential for a truly bonerific analysis. This is the song that Gene Simmons cannibalized a few years later for Domino. Also includes a riff from the bridge of Only You, What Have You. There you go. Thank you, Chris.
All right. A couple spoilers there, but it's all right.
And then we're going to spoil more. Tony Griggs says, and Lonely is the Hunter.
Okay.
I believe you, Tony.
Now, that would be completely lost to me, because that's one of the songs from the Kiss catalog that I couldn't tell you how the melody goes or anything about it.
Don't know whose song it is. No. Don't know who's singing it. Don't know. Yeah, there's a few of those where they're just poof.
Nothing.
Yeah. No clue.
We've listened intently to every Kiss song. That one, I couldn't tell you how it goes, who sings it. I couldn't even tell you what album it's on. I mean, I could guess from the 80s group, but completely forgettable. So
you could play it for me and I wouldn't be sure if that was it.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
So John Kolodner, the A&R man. Hmm. Jonathan Cain produced, it sounds like a ballad, I'm guessing, one track on the album. Hmm. Composed and produced it. I'll Be There For You. I'm guessing it's not the song that was cannibalized for Boys to Men a few years later.
Well, like, Bon Jovi had a song.
That's true.
By the same title.
Cannibalized for the theme of Friends years later.
Yeah, there you go.
They went back to the Black and Blue album. They needed a song for the biggest sitcom of the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You guys ready to get into it? Anything else before we do it?
Yeah, I don't think so. Hmm.
Others. Okay, quickly, let me tell you this. I'm playing this off of the Ultimate Collection, Black and Blue, because Nasty Nasty, the album, is not available on Apple Music. So I'm sure it's the same
is
version.
A remix.
But also track 4, Wicked Bitch.
Is there they're from New England?
Nature of the Beach. What the hell is that?
Is that what it says?
Yeah, that's number 9.
That's unbelievable. well.
Yeah.
And okay. Nobody submitted that.
No.
Nature of the Beach.
We have to revisit that sometime in the future. February, Nature of the Beach. figure out a way to make it work.
That either can't be good or can't be bad. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's take a quick commercial break. Before we do, let me remind you that if you are on Patreon at any tier, you could submit an intro for the song like Chris Foster did this week. Chris, thank you for the unique approach to this week's intro, spelling out the letters. That was cool. So if you want to be like Chris Foster, patreon.com/potofthunder. We'll be right back with Nasty Nasty. Sounds like shit.
That's a hideous guitar tone right there.
Yeah. This song could be called Shit. Comma in between. No, it's fine.
And kind of their version of the opening vocal salvo of Almost Human.
Yes.
Yeah.
That might have just been Gene eating in the control room.
Yeah. Or banging Steven Adler's girlfriend in the control room.
No, dude, it happened.
Yeah.
Kind of a Kolodner connection there. The opening of the title track of Permanent Vacation has a sort of thing like that. Some space between what's being played on the guitar and then someone making some weird noises.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
Well, it is called Nasty Nasty, so I'll give them some slack so far. It sounds nasty.
It's ugly, ugly so far. Mm-hmm. Hope it's not stupid, stupid.
Oh, wow.
It's
absolutely Domino. Jeez.
You know what? My mom's listening, and I'm sure she's happy about this. Her favorite Kiss song.
Domino?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So.
She's a woman of taste.
Here's one for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, this is the guitar solo breakdown, note for note, so.
Hmm. I mean...
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, you're on the session. Hey, to steal it. Who cares?
It sounds cool so far. Once the drums,
I wouldn't
kicked
go
in.
That far, but
I mean, just the groove of it, the way they're playing it.
Yeah, because cool. we like Domino, but it still sounds like shit. It's brittle. It's not a fun listen.
You're saying it's Aldi brand powdered sugar.
And someone,
instead of
Domino.
Know,
hocking a loogie at the beginning of the thing was kind of weird.
Bit
I don't
distasteful.
Need to hear that in my music.
We're trying to eat over here.
Yeah.
What did you say, Nick? I think I missed one shot.
I said, is this more like the Aldi brand powdered sugar as opposed to the Domino powdered sugar?
Yeah, no, you're not far off. Yeah, I mean, that's the most standout thing so far is it's the guitar bridge or guitar solo rhythm track completely stolen.
Yeah.
The source of it.
Mm-hmm. So, this is Baker's Corner.
Baker's Corner, that's what it is. I can picture it, I just couldn't think of it.
The Timu version of Domino, Camerato says that's a good one.
The one of the items you can't get to anymore because they moved the produce right by the front door.
Good luck.
Anyway.
Let's see what happens next.
I wanna give you all a warning. Tell you a little story. She's a woman with a passion for making history.
Why did he roll his R?
Why not?
Sounded stupid.
He's got a. Is it. Now I'm. Might be off a little here. Slight Iggy Pop delivery.
I was gonna say the exact same thing. Very very Iggy sounding to me, which is surprising.
Yeah, not what I was expecting.
I was just about to say that. You started talking. I'm like, I wonder if he's gonna say Iggy Pop, and he did. Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like that to me.
Well, and really like the whole how Domino is structured, where. Not really singing much of a melody and just kind of like I'm telling you a story and a sort of a blues, you know, sort of a move there, an old Delta blues thing where I'm gonna tell you a story between the guitar licks. Mm-hmm. That's really all that's happening so far. I will say because we've heard Domino so many times, I do like the way that the bass is just kind of driving that one note with the guitar riff. I think that's working pretty well with the drums are doing.
Yeah.
With that sort of
sometimes that's the right
thing.
Move. Just pedal a note and, you know.
Yeah.
So, I agree. Now it's gotten better for me that the vocals have kicked in. And it never hurts to sound like Iggy Pop. So I'm good with it. With that part of it so far.
Yeah, if you have a song called Nasty Nasty and you're using an Iggy Pop type attitude vocally, then that's not a bad
combo.
That's a safe bet that it's going to go hand in hand.
Yeah, no, so far so good once the vocals kicked in.
She got snake skin eyes. Saw some little like flies. She'll tear your heart to pieces.
All right,
man, that was an onslaught of lyrics there. Heard something about snake skin eyes.
Yeah, she's got snake skin eyes.
I'm just wondering how that works.
Well,
now snakes don't have eyelids, right? Or they have clear eyelids.
What?
Don't they have clear eyelids? Or am I thinking some sort of amphibian?
I believe you because I've never heard that, and there's no reason you would just make that up. If you did, I'd give you an award for best lie ever made.
He didn't say she has the eyelids of a snake. He's saying snake skin eyelids, I think.
I thought you just said snake skin eyes, didn't
you?
I think
so. That's what's confusing me.
So I'm assuming he just means the color of her eyes has a pattern of snake skin. I don't know.
Maybe she's.
Can that happen?
No.
Naturally, no. Wear contact lenses. I don't know. Or it could just be, you know, a turn of phrase that means nothing. So,
yeah, might have to ask AI about this.
Yeah, there you go.
See what Grok.
Yeah,
thinks
see what Grok has to say. In between undressing pictures of underage girls, which is apparently
is
its specialty.
Oh, good. That's what we're doing with AI now.
Yeah,
that's
and
nice.
There was an outcry about it. So they've changed however it works, so you can't do that anymore. But
so people would just upload a picture and ask it to do that, and that's
yeah,
what
it, just remove the clothing from this person. So celebrities and underage girls were the main target.
AI
Wonderful.
Was a mistake.
Okay.
Everything is a mistake
days. AI gave me a picture of someone with snake skin eyes. I don't know how well it's gonna look on there. I don't know if you can really see the eyes. Yeah. There's scales.
Hold on here.
Scales on the.
On the.
Yeah, contact lenses. You know.
But look at that lid there too.
Yeah, it's even on the even both. On the eyelid. So
yeah,
there
the
you go.
Green contact lenses.
Okay,
on the...
I can picture it now.
All right.
Literally.
Yeah, good. AI saved your day. Yeah.
It totally redeemed itself. After
I'm like,
committing
hey, I'm like everybody
sex
else.
Crimes.
Right.
I'm like everybody else. Where I, you
this
know,
is how their
my imagination didn't work. So
this
I went
is
to
their
AI.
Restitution for lurid sexual imagery to you know respond to every whim of Nick Jones that's fed its way.
Step one, if they want to redeem themselves in the eyes of the public.
I'm a little freaked out though. But apparently the vocalist enjoys this.
Well, everything that he said about her would all go together with this. This is not a surprise after the other things he
frankly,
said.
Frankly, I'm terrified of those eyes.
He wanted the first sentence of the song is I'm gonna give you a warning. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You're on notice, I guess.
Yeah.
So when he kicked up to the you know, sort of more typical 80s cock rock vocals, you know, the Iggy-isms kind of went out the window.
Yeah.
And it got closer to now Danger Danger, which we did an episode about them recently, right? Well, their first big hit was Naughty Naughty.
True.
And so that it was there was a part in there that reminded me of that. So once he kicked the vocals into more familiar territory, it started to sound like, you know, other bands of the genre. So it became a little less interesting to me. But, you know, some of the lyrics were, like I said, interesting.
She's got a lusty flavor.
Okay.
Okay.
Better than musty, I suppose. But, you know.
With a little imagination, she's going to rock the nation.
Well, Kiss also used that.
A lot, right? That was a name of... Was it a name of a tour?
It was a name of a tour, but I think it came from All Hell's Breaking Loose, which was just before this, right? A couple years.
Yeah.
Well, 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So never mind.
Lusty is musty. Seeing that in the chat, I won't say who said it to save you from yourself.
But, I'm going to ask AI who that was.
Yeah, right.
Take a guess out of our listeners. Who would have said lusty is musty?
Musty flavor. Some people love it.
I actually said that today, and now I can't remember why. Damn it! I caught myself saying that in a real-life situation. Some people love it.
Good. You should. Everybody should say that at least once a day.
Yeah. All right.
When they look in the mirror.
It's an affirmation.
Some people might love this.
It's almost like, well, this is the best I can do. Some people love it. Can't do any better.
I'm going to presume.
Yeah. This is it. This is what I'm working with. Some people love it. Out I go. All right. I think we're getting something here because there's this big pause. So I don't know if we're going to go to a core. I have no idea, but here we go.
Nasty, nasty, nasty.
didn't listen to her mama.
My mama.
Oh, her mama or her, or my mama.
This man did not listen to his mama.
No. Well, that's what every rock and roll song comes right. from, right? They would have listened. They wouldn't be singing this song. I did enjoy the what sounded to me like some sort of shaker.
That was just Chris over there with his maracas. That,
well, Chris made it better. No, I like how that just some sort of percussive thing like that can really kick it up. I enjoy that. I enjoy when there's a when there's some sort of just little.
I heard that earlier too. I think right around the rattlesnake skin eyes portion, you know, simulating a rattlesnake tail.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, it was all right. I thought the lyrics in the chorus were kind of clumsily arranged. It didn't flow right for me. Mm-hmm. 24 hours a day. I don't know.
I have some thoughts on this, and I'm wondering. Now, do you think guys who write songs or wrote songs like this, they encountered someone like this and they're telling their tale, or this is like, I'm going to try to will this into existence. I'm going to put this out there because this is what I want. And maybe this person will find me. The universe will connect us if I put this nasty, nasty 24-hour-a-day red hot woman out there.
Yeah, I could see someone doing that and just saying, like, this is the scene I want to be part of. This is the situation I want to find myself in.
Jackie says option two for sure.
Okay.
So that's probably right, but I'm wondering, I guess you're just saying whatever you want to say, but 24 hours a day sounds a bit much.
Well, it goes back to that trope of, you know, making love until the dawn with, you know, implying, like, no breaks or anything. It's just, it doesn't happen.
No.
Nobody does that.
I had a friend who did it.
Well.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he told me.
Yeah, of course he
did. You don't believe him?
He's willing it into existence with his, you know, spinning a yarn, but, you know.
He told me 8 hours of pumping, no breaks.
Yeah, that's simply not true. It didn't happen. It's false.
You can't even drive that way.
Yeah, you'd have to stop for...
You can't do anything.
Three Musketeers or something.
Yeah. You're stopping at the Loves, at least.
Well, just telling you what I heard.
No. You heard some bullshit.
Yeah, so. That's...
Yeah, no, but I don't know. I understand the sentiment here, but...
performance-enhancing drugs involved.
Yeah. Just when you stop and think about what these people are saying.
Yeah.
What are you wishing for here, guy? I don't think you know what you're getting yourself into.
Self-destruction.
Physical torture.
That's what they want. Chafing. That's what they want.
You'd be dead within a couple days. You'd never get a chance to sing the song that you wrote if this happened. If you had a genie when you were writing this song, you'd be dead.
You'd be dead.
Yeah. You don't need this in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was trying to think what other song sort of does that with, I don't know what percussive instrument, but what it sort of. It sort of kicks up by doing like a double time just on one thing like that. I know many songs do, but the one that came to mind is Almost Honest, that Megadeth song.
Oh, yeah.
Once it gets to the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of that kind of thing.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Nice touch.
Some people love it.
Some people love it.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
What did he say? Something about a lunchbox?
He sure did. He said, I didn't listen to my mama. I've been running for the hills. I dove into her lunchbox just for thrills.
Good grief.
That sounds like a Gene lyric. Yes. Gene had some influence here from the producer's chair, I think.
It's a bad lyric.
That's a terrible lyric.
It sucks.
Yeah. I mean, when it's
dove
like,
into her lunchbox. That's enough. That's not good.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that nobody has ever before or since used that term.
Dove into a lunchbox.
Nobody's ever said that, ever.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of almost sort of get what
Urban Dictionary turned it down.
It's like, oh, she's going to devour me. So, and I'm willingly being devoured by her, but it sucks.
I dove into her lunchbox and hit my head on the thermos that was in there.
Which was another man's thermos.
Yeah.
Yep. I explored her trapper keeper.
I'm going to put my thermos in your lunchbox, early version of log in the fireplace.
And I ate her homework for out of her trapper keeper.
Yeah, why not?
And exactly. Then some other idiot thing.
Yeah.
They all laughed.
Yeah.
You know. They did an uncomfortable laugh that they didn't mean because Gene was in the room. And told them to I got a great idea for you guys. You're going to love it.
Then they all went out and smoked afterwards and held their head in their hands.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to work, guys.
We can't do... Album's tanked now.
Yeah.
Dove into her welcome back Cotter lunchbox. Sweat hog is pictured on the outside. Yeah, it's a real patty dropper. Image of Horseshack on the side of it.
Lunchbox.
It's awful. And I would say... That's when the producer puts his foot down and says, we're not doing that, but who's producing this?
Yeah.
It all makes sense now.
Came from him.
Dove into her lunchbox. Jeez.
Back to back, ow, ooh. Yeah.
Come on, that's demo material. You don't ow and then ooh and on a produced track.
You can't do that.
It's either or. You can't have both.
No.
The touch the hot stove outburst or the punch in the stomach outburst.
Yeah,
that's it's either or. You certainly can't follow one immediately with the other.
It's a faux pas.
Yeah, I think, can you take it back a few seconds?
Of course, yeah.
I mean, some of these lyrics, the ooh-ah, thankfully overshadowed it. We don't have to go back and review.
Sounds like
the little red
sounds
Corvette.
Like your mom's version of Jericho's intro at the end. Ooh-ah, ooh. She did it better than this guy.
All right, here we go.
All right, I like the guy's screaming there, both before that and in the middle of that. He really was bringing it.
Yeah.
I got to tip my hat to that guy. He was on point that day.
Mm-hmm.
Thought the solo,
not holding back in the studio.
I thought the solo was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, musically, the music elements are great. I have no issue, except for the beginning, which was like, a little rough to listen to. I think it picked up steam. Jackie, not impressed with the vocals as much as I am, but I don't know. I got to hand it to him. Screaming like that in the studio, a lot of people hold back in that environment or they're intimidated by it. He showed up that day, brought his A game. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's going on here? So Chris Camarado says, that's the only you riff. Right after, Tony Grigg says, there is the Lonely as the Hunter and the Under the Rose riff. How many songs? Is it one riff that was used for multiple songs?
Future and past Kiss songs apparently seem to be involved.
Hmm. I'm confused. I believe you guys. You guys have an encyclopedic knowledge of those songs.
I'm going to have to defer to them because these are all forgettable songs for me. I couldn't tell you which riff goes in which song. So,
but I don't remember one sounding, well, who knows? Maybe I just don't remember it, but I was going to say the sounding that intense. Maybe Paul or Gene wasn't screaming nasty, nasty during it.
No.
Ow, ooh.
Yeah.
So, something kind of interesting that I came upon here on Wikipedia about this band, that in 1982, it looks like, they were featured on the, I guess, pretty famous compilation, the Metal Blade Records compilation, Metal Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
That was like Metallica had hit the lights on it.
That's what Metallica formed for, right?
And I think so. Or the name, I think, or came from the guy's list of possible magazine names or something.
Okay. So they,
and Rat had a song on there. But yeah, it looks like Black and Blue was featured as well. Steeler was on there.
That's what's his name's band.
Ron Keel.
Ron Keel, yeah.
So there you go, another sort of connection there. But yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool thing to be featured on.
Okay. That is cool. I had no idea. The only time I've ever heard of that is with Metallica's relationship to it. I didn't know who else. I knew and other bands were on it, but I didn't realize it was so many other bands that kind of became something.
Yeah. Anything Metallica touches is going to...
That's going to be the focus.
It's going to be like a Frankenstein monster. It's going to just come to life. And like how many bands, you know, have had their careers made.
Brett Metallica just covering
because
a song.
Metallica covered them. Yeah. So
they wore Misfits shirts and people wanted to go back and see who that band was. That's pretty much how Misfits had a second life because of Metallica.
There you have it.
And then all those... was that the British wave of heavy metal bands that
a lot of them
people
yeah.
didn't really know, but and Metallica covered their stuff.
Yeah, Budgie,
there you go,
Diamond Head, all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Sweet Savage,
don't know them.
Featuring Vivian Campbell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When was that? Was he 10 years old?
Garage Days. Was it Killing Time? Was a Sweet Savage song?
Okay, but that was before
and
Dio?
Vivian Campbell. What's that?
That was before Dio?
Yeah.
Was he
a
baby?
He was probably a teenager.
Probably 15 at that point.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm. All right, well, we got a little bit more here, but again, 24 hours a day, doing it every day, too. There's no days off. Holidays, weekends.
There's going to be some chafing happening if you're doing it every
day. I think he needs to unionize.
Yeah, he needs to get it down to a couple times a week. Nasty.
He needs to read The Jungle by W.E.B. Du Bois. I learned one thing in history class.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go back to it.
Sorry, Chris is still shaking his head. I love it. Okay, sorry.
I don't know what just happened. I just pressed play and I don't even recognize what we're listening to from where we stopped it. I'm going to go back a few seconds. There's a transition here. Is this the Kiss part? I don't know. We'll see.
Camarado says it. This is exactly the bridge, if only you.
Okay.
I couldn't, again,
really?
Completely forgettable material. I couldn't tell you if it's true or not. So... take his word for it.
Okay. Man, what is that? Is so familiar, not from a Kiss song.
It's got some Aerosmith vibes to it for me.
Those bends in there.
Yeah.
Even the...
See,
I could see if your Gene and the Elder flopped, no one's going to care if you take a riff that belongs in this style of music more so than the Elder.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to be like, hey, wait a minute, that's from the Elder. It's far more fitting to this song than anything on the Elder.
I think Jackie just called what I was thinking. Oh, and Fielding, Buck Cherry. I love the cocaine.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's it.
Not sure they had that wah-wah in it, but...
It was in there.
Okay. All right. Take your word for it, too. But no, it had more Aerosmith vibes to me, but they're all pretty similar.
I mean, let's be honest. This isn't exactly groundbreaking what they're doing on this riff here.
It's two notes, yeah. Essentially.
Yeah. So I'm sure a lot of people thought this is fun. This sounds good. It does sound good.
Keep it simple. Musically, most of this is pretty good. It's the lyrics are pretty rough and. You could go back and forth on the vocals. I enjoyed the paint peeling screams. Another person, like Jackie, wants the guy to settle down a bit. So who knows? You know, it's all relative, all subjective. But I'm at this point. I'm on the fence with my vote. Mm-hmm. Tipping my hand a little early, but
sounds like it's I could be wrong, but that riff, it's just open string and then bending the same note, but it sounds like you're doing it twice, you're hitting that other note. It sounds like there's a concerted effort to bend the string to make the note slightly higher on the first time that you're hitting it. To my ears, it doesn't sound like it's exactly the same note both times. It switches from the open string, and then you're hitting those two notes and bending them. It sounds to me like the first time they're being bent slightly higher.
Okay.
And I could be wrong, but that's it, because it sounded a little weird.
Hmm.
And I could see Gene being into that.
A little weird.
Make it a little weird.
Gene would be into that.
I don't know.
He does go for that shit. Turns out.
He does. All right. Let's keep going.
Little Jesse James Dupree there.
Yeah, I was actually, we're on the same wavelength. You're saying stuff.
You guys
are a nanosecond before I'm about to say it. But yeah, it was same thing. I was like, the jackals of the world is those imagery and sonically, it's coming to mind.
By the way, I just need a moment to find this on Wikipedia. But I read a brief summary of Jackal set at Woodstock 94. Mm-hmm. Oh, here it is. Notable events. Day one. Jackal took the stage early on Friday. Lead singer Jesse James Dupree took the stage with a bottle of whiskey and poured alcohol onto the crowd. Then he started smoking marijuana and... on a close-up, he shotgunned the joint into the camera with copious amounts of smoke, filling the screens in the stage, at which point the crowd cheered. Dupree then lit a stool on fire on stage and cut it up with his chainsaw. He also pulled out a rifle and started firing into the air, but cut his hand, which started bleeding. As Dupree wiped his forehead, a streak of blood was left across.
How do you cut your hand? What is he doing?
Trying to get a wick out of a candle.
Yeah, maybe. I guess so. Maybe so.
Now,
playing with his rifle. He
shot a rifle.
Shooting,
into
firing
the air.
Rounds into the air above a festival crowd. What could possibly go wrong?
Idiot.
It's the craziest man in rock and roll, I'm thinking.
You think that he was too much, like, too much of a show where it felt like a gimmick? Because,
I mean, just reading that, it sounds like, okay, he's throwing everything at the wall.
And people might have been turned off by that. Otherwise might have just liked the band.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
It's possible. I mean, but then you've got those personalities where it's like, the guy is too much. Mm-hmm. And I mean, David Lee Roth is that.
That's true.
David Lee Roth is too much.
That's a good point.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I think you got to go way further than that for it to be too much for people. I mean, I don't think.
Maybe a Woodstock crowd.
Yeah, but
playing on a rifle.
But it was right. 90s Woodstock. You know, it was like the alternative music festival. And yeah, I guess he didn't. He sort of, you know, Jackal at that point was a throwback to like the 80s, and maybe that was a bit of a turnoff, but yeah. I don't know. I refuse to believe that there's too much of anything for anybody these days. And, you know, we're living 22 years later, so things have 32. Changed, but 32?
Yeah.
That's right. Fuck, 32.
Right.
Jesus.
I hate thinking about that.
So, yeah, maybe I'm thinking of modern mentality transported that far back, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, just thinking out loud about Jackal. I remember reading something. I'm sure there's footage of it if you look for it, but at one of the early Lollapaloozas, that the Butthole Surfers did something like that, where the guy would... he had blanks and a shotgun, but he would point it into the crowd and shoot it.
That can't go wrong.
Right. What are people thinking?
Unbelievable.
Let's do something crazy.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
Who's going to insure that tour?
I'm sure that was not approved by a fire marshal or insurance, but...
Wasn't somebody fairly recently over here in Hammond, didn't somebody die from a fucking bullet landing on them that had been fired into the sky like the 4th of July?
It was on the 4th of July. A kid got hit in the head in a park with a bullet that came from you don't know where.
What do these people think, that you fire a bullet in the sky, it just keeps going? Of course. It has to fall back down to earth.
It's a lead ball that falls down.
Exactly. Yeah. Fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Jesus.
People think that's a good idea. Don't do it.
No.
Yeah. Some people.
Nobody loves that.
Nobody loves
that. Nobody loves that.
Gosh.
Yeah, you don't remember that? That's probably within the last 10 years, 12 years, something
like that. I don't remember
that
one, no.
Yeah. I remember reading about that. What a waste.
Yeah, complete.
Just, you know, so unnecessary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because it's New Year's or 4th of July, whatever, it's a holiday, so you have to... I'm going to shoot a gun into the sky. What are people thinking?
It's the world is a cesspool.
There you go.
It's nothing new, unfortunately, but yeah.
No.
All right, let's wrap her up here, huh?
Oh, really?
I don't know. There's
looks like we got a minute.
Damn.
Left. Okay. That's a lot of nastiness to go. Yeah,
it's too much. Well, I told you.
The guy's ready 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 minutes is not good.
Every day.
I don't know who he thinks he
day is. Day in, day out. Nasty, nasty.
It's enough. We don't need any more of that. All right. She likes it nasty, nasty. How's he yelling about?
I don't care. I'm loving it, though. I enjoyed this guy's performance.
Okay, he said, I want my hands on you.
Right.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na nasty. Ooh, you feel so good.
Yeah, I love this guy. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Fan of this guy's vocal performance.
I didn't catch his name. Did we? Did you say it earlier when you were reading the numbers?
Somebody compared, I think it was Jackie, compared him to a two-bit D. Snyder, what he looks like.
My goodness. Well, yeah, he did have like the blondish thing going on, right, in the picture.
Permish hair.
Let's see here. It was Jamie St. James.
Jamie St. James, okay. You did say that, I think.
Who apparently went on to front Warrant for a little while.
Odd that you said it, because Bobby Root just made a joke.
Went on to front Warrant for a little while?
He said, odd, like I said, Janie St. Lane.
Well, all right.
So, Bobby, I missed it if you said it earlier. I apologize to you. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Janie St. Lane.
Give it up. That's how I sneeze at my cubicle.
Hold on.
Oh, I ruined something, didn't I?
Not really, but here.
Again, it's kind of like Jesse James a thing.
It is. There's a precursor here.
And this is pre-Jackal, right? So this guy might have set the template for Jesse James Dupri.
Yeah. It's definitely before Jackal had any albums. I wonder when they...
First Jackal album was, what, 89? Later?
It says they formed in 91.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, shit. Wow, yeah. It's amazing that those guys are—they're still at it, and the timing of it is completely wrong for that kind of music. But they've forged out a career for themselves that continues to this day. Doesn't make any sense.
I enjoy that.
A band like that debuting in '91. You would on paper, that's a fucking death knell. But they're still at it.
I love that there are bands that during that particular year and that era that were not of that ilk.
I love that too,
because people, you know, we've talked about it before, but people like to say, oh, grunge came in and killed everything. No, didn't.
Yeah, not really.
Really,
right?
Didn't. I mean Aerosmith became probably the biggest they ever were.
I mean, it killed bands that probably were hangers-on, kind of, like, you know, but the bands that were already, like, well-established,
it wasn't like nobody else could survive.
And you know what? Ones that complained about it, like all the quote-unquote hair metal bands, because people act like that's some kind of slur. I can't say hair metal.
Right.
But all those hair metal bands that complained about it, it was like at most, a 10-year break. And to this day, they're still doing fine. Yes. There was a little lull where they weren't cool. And now they're on
cruise ships.
Cruise ships, festivals, you know.
They've been fine since the late 90s, probably. You know, people are like, that's all right, come back. We're good with you again.
Nostalgia's kicked in. They never had to take a manager's job at Wendy's.
No.
Still making a living playing music.
Bunch of brats.
You know, what do you expect?
And stupid bands came in.
Yeah, you know, fucking
ruined it for us.
Another reference to the movie The Wrestler. We were talking before we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
He was complaining. There's the scene where he's in the bar and they're listening to Rat on the jukebox, and he's complaining about grunge and stuff like that.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't remember that.
Grunge came and went, man. The other stuff stayed around.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, it's revisionist history. It kind of reminds me of like the disco backlash. It's like there was no backlash. Rock and roll was not removed from the world. Like I said, I've said it before on here many times. At the peak of disco, there were 4 album rock radio stations in Detroit. There was rock music was not removed from the airwaves. It was bigger than ever. Everything had its place, and you know, if whatever you liked, you could, you had access to it. So why fucking lash out at something? Why feel threatened by something?
Because Steve Dahl made up this thing to to get attention. Right?
You're right.
Well, and
he made up that disco for some reason had to be completely opposed.
Yeah. Well, and also very very extremely valid analysis in that Bee Gees documentary, but a lot of it was rooted in racism and homophobia as well.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Okay. Hard to argue that.
You can't argue it. I mean, there's no logical basis for the disco backlash, and tying it into what you said, you know, that whole, like, you know, Nirvana killed Warrant and Poison. Well, no, not really. No. And if they did, it was a temporary hiatus, like Nick said, you know.
And also, why were people mad at those bands when they were just the bands? You know, if you should be mad at anyone, it should have been some kind of tastemaker, record executive. Well, yeah,
someone in the industry who decided that this is how it's going to be now, and that's it. You know?
It's like saying Nirvana completely overshadowed and ruined Charles Barkley's career when they were on SNL together. Guess what?
Right. Barkley still
best entertainer on that episode is still day. Out there being hilarious, and he
better
and
it gets better every year,
and it's Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Good point. And just to be clear, I said the thing about how all those hair metal bands are still alive and well. The grunge bands would be too if the people were alive, you know, the main players who are no longer with us. Those bands would all still be in great positions too, to be making huge
Pearl
money.
Jam is still active.
Alice
in Chains is active with a new singer.
But you know, if Nirvana was still around, they'd have the opportunity to be huge. It's not like they would have gone away. None of it would have gone away.
Right.
No, just kind of, it comes and goes of what's hot at the time, but you know, as far as long-term staying power, they all have it. So what are we fighting about?
It's just, it's like killing somebody because you fired a bullet into the sky. It's so unnecessary.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be happening.
Yeah.
So just stop it.
Cut it out.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay. Go back in the house. Calm down.
Yeah.
When you're ready.
Unload the weapon.
Back in the house.
Put it back in the gun safe. Don't fire it up in the sky because you're, you know, celebrating America enough.
Yeah, when you're ready to be a big boy, you can come back outside.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we got to vote. Nasty.
He's right.
He is right, you know. And guess what? You know what the big boy does? He puts the gun in the gun safe.
There you go.
And locks it up.
That's it.
And doesn't use it irresponsibly on the 4th of July or any other fucking day for that matter.
No. Go get a hot dog.
Firing a live round into the air.
Yeah.
Well, that bullet's not going to come down anywhere. Yeah, okay. Tell that to the fucking family who's just destroyed by some idiot who did that.
It's true. Absolutely true. All right. We got to vote. On that note, let's put our minds in the mood for voting for Nasty Nasty.
Yeah.
Nick, you first.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to have to kick it.
Oh!
It's a humiliating kick in the crotch!
Had a good time talking about it. Will agree with Chris to an extent that enjoyed the enthusiasm of the vocalist, but will maybe agree with Jackie a bit more that it was a bit much. And really, it left me at the end of the song not being able to hum anything. And
that happens.
That's a thing that I like to do.
Hey, well, that's interesting because all the other songs that were mentioned, that this song was like a recycled, that we recycled from this song, we all said the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a cursed song. Everything from it can't be hummed later.
Yeah, I mean, I think musically, some cool stuff going on. I like the, it's cool getting to go back, knowing Domino first and then going back and hearing this. So yeah, musically I thought it was cool. I thought, you know, vocalist, definitely he can do a lot, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Like he's got a lot of tricks in his bag.
Yeah,
but just kind of got a little tiresome for me.
Okay.
I don't know, pretty cool though. Can't say I severely dislike it or anything like that, but yeah, had to kick it. Sorry.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I've got to kick it as well.
It's a humiliating kick in the crotch.
I mean, I liked a fair amount of stuff about it. The histrionics of the vocal performance. I think the main thing I like about that is that he did that on a studio track. Didn't hold back in the slightest in the sterile environment of the studio. That's harder true. Than it sounds like, because it's tough to really bring an incendiary performance in the studio.
That's true. Yeah.
For a variety of reasons, the top two being it's a sterile environment, and there's also pressure in the studio. Especially for a younger band, so that's what I found most impressive about it. But yeah, it's patently ridiculous. you know, it's got Gene's fingerprints all over it, and yeah, I mean, this is not something I would seek out. I'm not going to be adding it to my liked songs queue, so it'll come up on shuffle at some point, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun to listen to and make jokes about, sure.
Yeah. I'm with you guys, kicking it.
It's a humiliating kick in the crotch!
Fielding Fowler and Bobby Root are having a night tonight in the chat talking about this. Is there a second vote for three kicks? A reverse boner. The
an
turtle.
An innie, if you will.
Yeah, an innie, then rock roll turtle, I see.
Michelangelo's David, if you will.
All right, well, no, there isn't. But maybe there should be. But, man.
Michelangelo's David. He's a white guy. What do you want to do?
Well, he's in. He's about to take on Goliath. I remember reading that.
That's what he's doing.
That Michelangelo.
That's David.
That's David in Fight or Flight, and things yeah. things compressed and tensed. You
I had
know?
No idea that was the same David. I just
yeah.
learned that. Today.
No, that's that. He's like in athletic, you know, battle mode.
He's got to fight nude.
Yeah, man.
What are they doing?
That's all.
That's how they rolled back in the
Olympics. Penis is out.
The Olympics were nude.
Yeah.
Whose idea was that?
The Greeks.
They
made it.
You just yeah. You answered your
yeah.
Question. At least you know yeah, the Olympics.
Earth's perverts. The Greeks.
Yeah, you got that right. Fucking weirdos.
No, I don't. That's I remember reading that about the statue, that that's why physiologically he looks the way that he does, because there's the, he's under that situation.
Well, another explanation, he's a white guy. That's it.
Is that it? Yeah. Imagine if he had a full boner. That'd be weird. He's about to fight Goliath.
Well, you know, some people, it might happen to somebody, you know. And not all Greeks are not well hung. Case in point, Tommy Lee, Greek man.
He's a Greek guy, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway. Oh,
naked thing. One more thing. I don't know how many years ago it would have been, but I've heard from someone who's still alive, so it wasn't that long ago, that high school gym class swimming was nude when they were growing up.
That doesn't make sense.
Seems unnecessary, doesn't it?
Well,
did they not have trunks?
Were they not invented? When did the trunk get invented?
Did they have to invent trunks to get in the water?
Maybe. We had trunks middle school swimming, which is the first time there was swimming in gym class, and there were trunks available. You had to wear them. Mm-hmm. So who said this about?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. I'm just wondering who it is, just because it's got to be before my time.
Yeah,
or else maybe it was a regional thing. Who knows? But
full nude. You
know. The naked triangle of Northwest Indiana.
Yeah. That might be it. That might be the inspiration.
Like you said, the Earth's perverts are capable of anything. So
I mean, you did have to take showers anyway.
You did. That was weird anyway.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Looking back, that made no sense either.
Gotta get naked with a bunch of boys.
Look,
it's not. It ain't right.
I'm not Mr. Handyman, but I'll come to your school and put stalls in the wall.
That's all we needed.
I can do that.
They didn't even need to have backs. Just a little side stall.
Side is good.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You throw your towel over it, you know.
It's called privacy.
Yeah.
Let's have it.
Walk around with your prick showing after running a mile.
Looking like Michelangelo's David.
Exactly. Yeah. After wrestling the larger boys in class.
Yeah. You
gotta strip down and shower with them.
It's weirdness.
That's torture. Now they don't even have to take gym anymore.
It was a different time, and certain things from those times should not be carried over into the present day.
They got rid of it. You don't need gym
to graduate. That's a problem, but...
Yeah, that. I would disagree with that personally, but...
Well, run for office. No, I don't know.
After this episode?
Yeah. No. Well, or any of the 635 that preceded it.
Yeah.
Then again, that might be nowadays. That might be what catapults you into a victory in an election.
Well, profanity is absolutely a prerequisite at this point.
That's the thing. People always say that. Oh, you can't run for office now. It doesn't matter
now
anymore.
It's like you could do anything you say that. You, want. Yeah, you say that giving a speech in office.
Yeah. You pick your pants down. Racial slurs. It doesn't matter.
I won't go into specifics, but Andy has a theory about what politics are descending to. I bet it happens.
Yeah, it's happening. All right. Well, hey, let's rubber stamp it. If you disagree with us, I don't know. You should probably sit down and have an honest discussion with yourself.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Go back in the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop yelling about Tommy Thayer was in Black and Blue.
Yeah. I see something here. What does it take? Tony Griggs says, what does it take to bribe Andy? Not much, Tony. I don't know what you're asking about, but yeah.
A time machine now. That's about it.
I don't know what you need to bribe me with, but I'll take it. Doesn't take much. So whatever you want, send it my way, and I'll do it. Do or say anything.
A cherry mash.
That's good enough for me.
That'll do it.
Yeah, I'm in. How about a little commercial break? We'll be right back with the greatest segment of all time. It's joke time. But for what holiday?
Oh, Oh, ooh.
The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night.
The jokes come out.
The jokes come out at night.
Yep.
So we had Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's.
Now, as of this recording, in a couple of days, it's the birthday of beloved guest and friend, Mr. Tom Kodal. Bowling extraordinaire, among other things.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Happy birthday, Tom. So, the Tom Kodal jokes come out at night tonight. Yeah,
Tom Kodal edition of the jokes come out at night. You said you had two, Nick?
I have two.
So I guess mine will go in the middle.
Sure.
All right, yeah, because I have one. I come with one every week. I'm a quality over quantity kind of guy.
And your joke is a Tom joke, too?
Of course.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought this was a secret.
No.
Okay.
This is not off the cuff. This segment deserves more than that.
Yeah, and Tom doesn't even know we're doing this. As I think at this moment, he's probably not listening.
He turned it off.
Yeah. Jackie, and that's the other thing that Nick and I discussed. It's like, do we do a MLK Day joke segment? It's like,
no, we don't.
We're not that self-destructive. Yeah. We're not going there. So... Okay. Fortunately, Tom Kodal's birthday falls in proximity to MLK Day, so we don't have to slit our own throats by making MLK jokes. It would surely end in abject disaster.
There's no possibility for comedy.
No, there really is.
No. Let's face it.
Certain things should not be attempted. That's one of them.
All right. First terrible joke out of my stable here. Tom Kodal birthday jokes edition. They're coming out right now. Why did all the animals leave their wallets at home after they heard Tom Kodal was going to be taking an African safari?
One more time?
Yeah, that's
That's
a lot to unpack there. What is it?
Why did all the animals leave their wallets at home after they heard Tom Kodal was going to be taking an African safari? So he's taking the safari. All the animals heard about it. They said, we're leaving our wallets at home today. Why did they do that?
Why, Nick?
No clue.
Because they'd heard stories about him rolling rhinos.
Hell yes! Shit!
Good one.
Bowling ball joke. Yeah.
Bowling ball.
I like that one.
Mugging, bowling ball slash mugging joke.
Yep.
Is it my turn?
Absolutely.
All right. What 80s pop song... Wait a minute. Let me think about how I want to phrase this. Here it is. What is Tom Kodal's favorite 80s pop song that wasn't written or recorded by Def Leppard? What is Tom Kodal's favorite 80s pop song that was not written or recorded by Def Leppard?
I give up.
Andy?
I give up.
Well, you guys are in luck. I'm not just going to say it. I'm going to sing it.
Yes.
And I would bowl 300 games, and I would bowl 300 more just to be the man who bowls 300 games and earns a perfect score. Ba-da-da-ba, ba-da-da-ba, ba-da-da-ba-da-da-ba-da-da-ba-da-da.
Love it.
I was hoping someone would join in on that.
Yep, you guys are on the same page
today. Nick was on it.
Very good.
Love it.
All right, take it home, Nick.
All righty. How do you know if a tree is growing on Tom Kodal's side of the property line?
Interesting question.
How do you know if that tree over there is growing on Tom's side of the property line?
Wait. We didn't know we were going to have three jokes.
You know?
I don't know.
I don't know, Nick.
Okay, so once again, it's how do you know if a tree is growing on Tom Kodal's side of the property line? The answer is, when it sheds its leaves, they never land in the gutter.
There All you right. go. Happy birthday,
Happy
Tom.
Happy birthday, Tom. Hope you enjoyed those.
Another happy birthday for Tom.
If you didn't, that's my bad.
Yeah. Scrolling back up. Who asked? Bobby Root said, are we out of yards? There are a few. We just haven't been doing it. But if you want to submit a Yardo questions for the near future, on a week when we don't have jokes, we'll see how it goes.
We're on a heater with the jokes.
We are.
This is another one of those segments that just took on a life of its own.
And yeah.
We're certainly not going to just tack it on to something else and have 2-3-hour episodes.
No, we don't need that.
No, nobody needs that.
But if you do have a Yardo questions in your mind and you want to get it out, potofthunder.com, click the widget, send it our way. It sits in the box and it's ready when we're ready.
The capability is there.
Yep.
Send it in. Yeah. But, you know, we're rolling with the jokes right now.
Yep.
They keep coming out.
At night.
At night.
Yes. You know, so you said the thing about MLK jokes.
Well, let's be careful.
Well, no, don't worry.
People have said.
Oh, of course. But I was thinking, you know, that you have to be careful when you have tributes for things like that, obviously, right? I remember years ago there was a Popeyes ad.
Oh no.
I remember.
And it was
this.
A sales, like a MLK sale for chicken, and it was like, are we sure that's what we want to do? I mean, hey,
how does nobody in the organization speak up and say this is a bad idea?
Because here's the thing, they basically had the same sale for like exactly what we were doing. There was a segment for every holiday. They had the same sale for every holiday, whatever the, you know, four pieces for whatever. And it was like, well, that's the next one. Let's just roll with that.
Again, it's like the Black Friday deals. It's like they're no better or worse than deals at any other time of the year. President's Day, whatever.
Yeah. And then what do you guys think of this? I saw this the other day. LeBron James has some shoes, some signature shoes, and they are Honor the King, the colorway, that's the word they like to use for whatever color the shoes are, to a tribute to Martin Luther King, and the teal colorway draws inspiration from the Lorraine Motel, the location of the activist's assassination. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah.
People were like, what's going on here? That's an odd way to honor, but, you know, hey, I get it.
That is, so, no, that's weird.
It's a you have to be careful when you're paying
That's
tribute
a weird connection
to people.
You know, why I don't know.
Yeah. That's
why highlight the place where you bought it?
Yeah, I could see making a connection to what is it, the mall over there in DC where you gave the speech.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's just odd.
But not like ugly motel color where he got killed.
Right.
Why is that?
Should have run it by a focus group, whoever's doing these. The Popeyes guy got a job at Nike and just can't help himself.
Just ask us.
Yeah. Ask us for a small fee. We'll steer you in the right direction for your tribute.
Send your concerns to the world's nakedest man.
Yeah. Believe it or not, he has better instincts and tastes than some people out there who are making big decisions.
Yeah, and making big money.
Right.
That is a weird thing to include.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry for taking it there, but because you said it, I had to get it out. It's on my mind. So, all right. Well, hey, happy birthday, Tom Kodal. Happy birthday to whoever else has a birthday. Nick's little boy, Charlie. Happy birthday, Charlie.
Charlie.
Hey, maybe some listeners have birthdays. I don't know. Everyone's got one, right? Yeah,
birthdays, they happen every year.
Some people have them.
So between
some people have them, yes.
So between this moment and next week, some people listening have birthdays. Happy birthday to you. Even if you're listening in the future, your birthday's in
it's your
August.
Birthday in 11 months around Black Friday, like mine is, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to me. All good.
Yeah, there you go. Again, thank you to our friends over at Curiosities.
It smells good in here.
Smells good. I don't want to
smell
leave.
This good at your place too.
Yeah, I don't want to leave. That's why the episode's going on forever. Smells too good. Don't want to go away.
I'm settled in on my spot in the couch now.
He's got his feet up. I'm not settled going anywhere.
I'm settled in.
Yes, and thank you to everybody for listening, regardless if you're on Patreon or not. But also, two thank yous to those of you who are on Patreon. Very much appreciated. Thank you to those of you who joined us live on Thursdays here. Very much appreciated. Part of the show over here with all your chats and information that us three stupid guys don't know about these songs. So thank you for being smarter than us. And we will be back next week with the final episode of January before we get ready for February.
Ooh, baby.
You're going to love it. But now it's time to get in that bed.